T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
It is a Tuesday in which we have finally seen some warmer weather, a little bit of melting, maybe some rain. I noticed one thing this morning when I got up, the grass was green. It was like once the snow melted and we got above 45 degrees yesterday, suddenly the grass turned green and it's like growing. I noticed that I'm probably this weekend might have to venture out and actually cut the grass, which I don't mind at all, because that means that, you know, the semi-semblance of summer is here. At least you're back to some things that are, you know, that you do in warmer weather. So I was kind of excited, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm looking forward to it. So welcome to the show this morning. Radio Joe Zinzola alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We got Jim Paschke, the Bucks television voice from Fox Sports Wisconsin, going to be joining us coming up here shortly. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. We're going to talk with Chris Ranji from 101 ESPN Radio in St. Louis, and also formerly from Chicago, so we can break down the National League Central. And then we have Jeremy Jeffress today. JJ's going to be with us. He's back with the team, and we'll chat with him. Which side of the coin do you want to talk about today? Because, and I had said this last night in a piece that I had done for the network, when Superman needs to get a new cape, he goes to Christian Yelich's closet. It's just that simple. If you need a lifeline on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you call Christian Yelich. If you're a parent and you want to point to a guy and say, this is how you do things and this is how you want to be, you point to Christian Yelich. It's just that simple. The guy just does everything. So on one hand, we can get into that discussion. We can talk about MVPs, how lucky we are, because we're sitting here right now getting ready to witness again tomorrow night the perennial MVP, in my opinion, the guy that's going to be, Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks. We've got the reigning MVP in Christian Yelich, and we have a former MVP in Aaron Rodgers, all sitting in the state of Wisconsin. We are joyous right now when it comes to the level of play and recognition. On the other hand, when you're talking Brewers specifically, how much longer do you go with a pitching staff that can't get out of the fourth inning and just can't hold runs? You're relying right now on a team to score 6 or 7 runs a game. You're not going to win games like that. You're just not. This is getting a little bit alarming. It really is. This is getting a little bit alarming. You know, I thought, well, you know, first couple of weeks, you start to settle down, but you're seeing a consistent pattern here, and I had discussed this yesterday, and don't get me wrong, you get a win. You know, you take it. You take it, and you move on. You know, you keep stacking success, and as long as you can do that, you know, you're going to end up atop the division. And here's the other thing. Pittsburgh loses. St. Louis obviously loses. So you've got a game-and-a-half lead on Pittsburgh and on St. Louis. You're 11-6. 5 games above 500. Okay? The Mets are 10-6. You're 11-6. San Diego's 11-7. So as it stands, you've got the best record right now in the National League. Okay? And other than Tampa Bay and Seattle, you've got the third best record in all of baseball. So I'm not sitting here saying that there's doom and gloom, but you lead your division with a negative run differential. That is concerning. And I know that people don't want to pay attention to that number all the time, but it's something that eventually can come back to bite you. And it's because your offense has to win these 1 and 2 and 3 run ball games by the score of 10-7, 8-7, you know, 7-6, because you consistently have to go to the offense to support your pitching staff. And that's an area of concern. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, by all means do so. 855-830-8648. Are you getting concerned with the rotation? Are you getting concerned with Brewers pitching? I want to know your thoughts. 855-830-8648. So again, if you want to follow us, you can do so on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @RadioJoeSports. You can find him there, the Facebook fan page. Great way to get a hold of the program as well. Go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Also, over on the website, BillMichaelsSports.com, there's the Radio.com app. And just download it on any mobile device. You can take us everywhere. Favorite us. It'll pop right up. And if you want to listen to the podcast, you want to listen to any, you know, past interviews, whatever, make sure you find everything over at BillMichaelsSports.com. So are you getting concerned about, and I had said, give me 25 games. Well, we're 17 games into this. So you got about another, I'd say probably 8, 10 games, maybe 12 games before my level of concern really reaches a higher level. But this is bothersome. To see this team week in and week out, game in and game out. And if you get a guy that goes 5 innings and gives up 2 or 3 runs, that's a banner day right there. If you see anybody that goes past 6 innings and giving up 3 or less runs, that's an unbelievable day. That means the whole baseball team went to the church prior to the game. Because you're just not getting that right now. So again, 855-830-8648. This one's from Luca. Luca writes, hell yes, I am concerned about this pitching staff. They didn't do anything to address the starting pitching in the offseason, and it's coming back to bite them in the butt. This team cannot sustain this way. Why doesn't David Stearns wake up and see this? And we were patient with this ball club all these years. Now they need to spend money. Why is Dallas Keuchel not signed yet by this Brewers team? They're hoping they don't have to. They're hoping that the young guys come around. We know Yuli Chacin doesn't start off the season very fast. I mean, he's even admitted that. It takes him a little while to get in the rhythm, and they're a couple of weeks into this thing. So, overwhelming concern? Nah. You know, I mean, this will be, it'll be what, 3 weeks? 3 weeks this Thursday? Or 4 weeks this Thursday? Because they started in May this year.
March.
Yeah, or in March this year, I'm sorry. So, yeah, it'll be 3-4 weeks that this thing's finally underway. And then you start looking for guys, you know, to get warmer, to get better. And they've also had, I'm not going to make a ton of excuses for the Brewers, but they've also had a kind of a pain in the butt schedule. It hasn't been easy. Starting out with, 4 against St. Louis, 3 against Cincinnati, then the Cubs. Then you had to go to L.A. for a couple, you know. I mean, so the fact that they started off as hot as they did, yeah, had you won a game against the Angels, it doesn't look nearly as bad. But because you got swept, you struggled. Look at this. You lost all 3 games, and you gave up 20 runs in the series against the Angels. You know, and you scored 12, which normally for a 3-game series, not bad. It means you're averaging 4 a game. That's not terrible. But you gave up 20 runs in that series. You know, you had to win 8-5 against the Dodgers. The 4-1 game, fantastic. Going back to last Saturday, that's a fantastic start. But then again, they come right back and give up 7 runs against the Dodgers on Sunday. And they gave up 7 runs again last night. This is not good. It's a bad sign right now. Go back to that game they won against the Cubs on April 5th. They had to win that game 13-10. They lost 14-8 the next day. This pitching staff is just not good.
Bill, what did I say at the beginning of the year? Do you remember?
You said a lot of stuff. I think we talked about...
What did I say about the pitching staff, and what did I say about the offense?
We had said that the offense is going to have to come up huge because the pitching staff is not the same and might not be able to sustain because they're going with a lot of youth.
I think it's remarkable that the Brewers are 11-6 and one of the top teams in the National League to start the year, considering this has not been great from any of the pitchers, the majority of the pitchers outside of Josh Hader and Zach Davies. So for me, I'm actually pretty ecstatic where the Brewers are. And yeah, you know what? I mean, I warned this at the beginning of the year with a lot of these pitchers, especially the young guys in the rotation. There's going to be growing pains. Okay, we can't expect all these guys to be Cy Young award-winning pitchers here right out of the gate. So it's going to take some time. I'm very patient with all three of them.
This week, this time last year, 3 weeks into the season, the Brewers were third in team ERA in the in Major League Baseball. Right now, they are 23rd.
And you're 11-6.
And you're 11-6. You're 23rd. Last year at this time, you were third. Now you are 23rd in ERA.
Look, I'm not freaking out at all about the pitchers. Is it concerning? Yeah, it is a little bit. But at the end of the day, what's going to carry this Brewers team, and it should carry them, is the offense. I think for the most part, this Brewers offense has done a good job. But there are still some guys scuffling, like Travis Shaw, who needs to be better. Jesus Aguilar needs to be better. Orlando Arcia has had some moments, but he needs to be better. I mean, if there's anything that's going to get me angry about the Brewers in the first half of the season, it's this offense, because this is a proven group of hitters. You know what you're getting. You look at the lineup, you look at the best possible lineup you can put out there on paper, and it's stacked 1-8. That is what is going to have to win you ball games here until you get closer to the trade deadline. And if these pitchers aren't getting it done, then yeah, go out and make a move. But in the meantime, you got to be a little patient with the younger guys. You just do. You just do. This is what the Brewers were this is what they were gambling on. So, unfortunately for fans, you just have to hang in there a little bit.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. People lining up to jump in on hold. Hang in there. If you want to chime in, otherwise hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook. You can do that as well. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, award-winning Wisconsin cheeses. Cheese curds, they're under the center of Cousin Subs' local heart menu. Now they're happy to announce a new member of their locally sourced lineup, Creamy Wisconsin Mac and Cheese. Featuring shredded Parmesan, shredded white cheddar cheeses, now available at select locations in Wisconsin and Illinois. So we're transporting our stuff down there because they need it. Order as a compliment to your favorite sub or maybe a kid's meal. Consider the topping of your choice with bacon, chicken, ham, or turkey. You can order online at CousinSubs.com. Delivery, by the way, available at some locations. Cousin Subs, doing it all, serving all. Because they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hang in there. Are you getting concerned about this pitching rotation for the Milwaukee Brewers? Yay, nay, or indifferent? More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Fastball just didn't feel as crisp tonight for some reason. You know, he battled through it, and then the command kind of just wavered as he was going. So just never, you know, I don't think there was many. There was, you know, a hitter here and a hitter there where it felt like he had it, but he didn't put together like a string of hitters where you really feel like you got it going.
Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Those are the words of Craig Counsell. And saying Peralta really never got into a rhythm. Never really happened for him. And we've seen this. He can't get out of that first inning unscathed, and he continues to struggle. So, you know, are you concerned at this point about this pitching staff of your Milwaukee Brewers? Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's get back to the phone calls. And I talked to Bill, listening to us in Franklin. Bill, welcome to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing wonderfully. What's up?
Listen, I know where you're coming from, and I just want to share something with you. You think that you are sad about the Brewers making no pitching moves. The Atlanta Braves, tons of money to spend, promised the people they were going to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Will not spend. And I'm going to tell you, they've got a good ball club offensively and a lot of good young pitchers, but they need a closer. Will not spend. But I'm going to tell you, 90% of the game is pitching, and I'm concerned about the Brewers. You are right. They're going to have to do something.
They can't go much further like this. You can't put that kind of a pressure on an offense to go out and score 7 to 10 runs a night just to win ball games. And you can't continually do this to your bullpen either. Otherwise, by the end of June, you might as well forget it. Everybody's going to be just worn out. So eventually something's going to have to give here. Appreciate the phone call, Bill. Now, listen, I'm not upset. I know fans are, but what was stated earlier was an email that was written. I'm not upset. I'm just kind of waiting to see how things shake out. But what I see is with each start that tends to be a less than five inning start, a more than four run start, and you're putting pressure on an offense, you can see it's like watching a car sitting on the railroad tracks, and here comes the train. You can see the light of the train coming down the tracks. Eventually, something's got to give. And the train ain't going anywhere. The car's going to get smashed. So you hope that the Brewers can figure this thing out, or at the very least that some of this youth finally kind of gets their legs under them a little bit, and then things begin to work out in that direction.
I think that's what I'm gambling on, and I do think guys like Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta will all bounce back. I really do. I don't think they're going to be this bad for the next couple of months. And if I'm wrong, so be it, but you got to take a gamble right now, and there's so much promise with all three of these guys in the rotation. And Chacin, he has had a reputation in the past for getting off to slow starts too, and it wasn't good that he gave up six runs the other day, so he's right. Got to pitch a little bit better. But at the end of the day, I firmly believe it's the offense that has to do its job. And if they put up eight runs and the Brewers still find a way to lose because of the pitching, then fine. But at this point, we know what the offense is. We know Christian Yelich is showing up every night. I mean, what a performance last night from Christian Yelich. We know he's going to come out and be the MVP again this season.
You can't rely on a guy to hit three home runs a night just to win damn ball games.
Well,
that's the problem.
Well, here's the thing. We go to basketball for a second. We talk about Giannis and how important he is to that basketball team and winning games with Giannis. Well, it's kind of like that here with the Brewers. You have another superstar caliber player in Christian Yelich. You kind of have to rely on him to go out there and be the guy, don't you? Josh Hader, it's the same thing. You kind of go out there and expect him to be the guy. So those stars certainly have to show up every night.
855-830-8640. Let's go to Jeff listening to us in Greendale. Jeff, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Michaels.
What's happening?
Hey, I'm not going to say I'm overly concerned, but there is concern. And I get both your points, what you're both saying, because you don't want to be too panicky and let the young guys, because I do think there's promise. But I think that there might have been, we're biting off a little bit more we can chew early on, meaning with the young guys. Because you kind of saw this last year with them, some good performances and some really good, but we just had a bullpen that really, in my opinion, covered up for some of the mistakes last year. Now that bullpen's not there. If you're going to go make a move, if I'm going to be personally, if I'm Stearns, because Antanasio in that article said, we're at our cap, but if I'm going to spend, I'm leaving it up to Stearns. So if Stearns is going to be the guy to make a choice, if I'm going to be in him, I would probably look at Dallas Keuchel for the simple fact is you can then now take one of your young guys, move him to a bullpen that whoever it is that needs maybe more tweaking on his side of the pitching, whether it be Burnes or Peralta or whoever it is. But you still have the option. You can bring rotate guys. Okay, now this guy's been in the bad street for 2 weeks. Now let's bring the one that we put down there in the bullpen, bring it back out, and let's get that. Now you got a rotation, but then you also got Jeffers coming back. Hopefully they can get to about 80% of what he was last year. But you now, to me, in my opinion, if you grab Dallas, you got a top starter I think is better than Chacin, then you got Chacin. And then you don't put as much pressure on these young guys to work through these problems. And now you've also strengthened the bullpen. So I like to see it in that way, not for a panic, but I'm looking at the full year, that this is something that could ripple effect to help everyone in that staff. And that's just my opinion on it. Thanks, Mike.
All right, appreciate it. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648.
But the thing is, Bill, it appears the Brewers don't have the money to go out and get Dallas Keuchel. Otherwise, he'd be on the team right now. And that goes for Craig Kimbrel as well, right?
Pretty much.
Right?
That's what we were told.
We saw Corey Knebel. He's done for the year. So you knew the Brewers did their due diligence. You saw the reports across Twitter. Everyone was saying that the Brewers were in talks with Craig Kimbrel. But they had their asking price, and I think it was too steep for the Brewers to go. And it's just the unfortunate part of this, Bill, we're not the New York Yankees. We don't have a $200, $300 million payroll to go out there and sign these guys just like that. It's just, it's not going to happen. I think if the Brewers really could, Kimbrel and Keuchel will be on this team right now, but I'm just convinced they don't have the money to do it. And they're trying to save money at the trade deadline to take on any other salaries when the time comes. So what they're trying to do right now is just gamble on these guys. And again, I really think some of these younger guys with the high ceilings will bounce back.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout, 855-830-8648. Want to hear from you. Are you getting concerned about this Brewers pitching staff? Javier on the south side, give us a shout. What's going on, man? What's happening?
Hey, nothing much. I think I might be in the minority from all the callers that are calling. Everybody's panicked. I'm not panicked at all. The thing about last year, we had a really good pitching staff, but our hitting wasn't all that great. I mean, how many games did the pitching staff save last year where they just held it on by, like, say, a point and the hitters weren't hitting? I mean, this year, like, we're getting 7, 8, 12 game runs. It's way different than last year. I think that pitching will get better. I mean, these guys have shown a lot of promise. I think there's just command issues that's getting to them. One thing I wanted to say is I wouldn't spend on Kimbrel or the other guy just because at the deadline, they're going to need that money just in case whatever happens. I mean, Jesus Aguilar, he hasn't been doing all that well since, like, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Thames, he's not reliable either, or else they would have switched to him, like, a long time ago. So I think they're basically going to wait out, see how Jesus Aguilar does. And if he's not hitting, I think they're going to go out for a first baseman come trade deadline.
Appreciate the phone call. I would be between Jesus Aguilar, and we've talked a little bit about this, Jesus Aguilar, Travis Shaw, the bottom of that lineup has been struggling. You got quite a bit. Ryan Braun has been struggling. Just numerous guys have not been hitting. You've had the top of the order that's been extremely successful, but it hasn't materialized.
You know, Tim Allen brought up a really good point yesterday about Yasmani Grandal, because you saw last night, I mean, he didn't get the start at catcher, but he came in later in the game and ended up having a couple more hits. Yasmani Grandal, as Tim had suggested, maybe there's a point here where you bump him up in the lineup as your number three hitter. And I would be fine with that, because that guy's bat right now is sizzling.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind bumping him up.
No problem with that at all. If your lineup starts off with Kane, Yelich, and Grandal, whoo.
Yep.
Do it, Craig. Do it.
Yep, in a heartbeat. 855-830-8648. Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. We'll talk some more Brewers coming up. We'll get back to this topic, but we got to talk some Bucks. Jim Paschke, Bucks television voice in Fox Sports Wisconsin. The hype is real. The town is on fire. Bucks Nation is ready to go. Tomorrow night, game two. Pistons and the Bucks down at the Fiserv Forum. We'll discuss coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, and Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. It is, we'll get back to the Brewers chatter coming up here shortly, because it is warranted. Brewers are an exciting team, but the team that has got the city, the state, Bucks Nation all on fire is Bucks basketball right now, getting ready to take on the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night, game two, after a blowout win in game one. If you listened last night to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, we had Pau Gasol on for an hour with us down at Rare Steakhouse in Milwaukee, and what a depth of knowledge, and it was almost like it had to be a face in the crowd to see his face as we sat there and chatted last night. I highly, highly recommend you go back and listen to it. He is fantastic to talk to. Another guy that has the inside and is also fantastic to talk to, Jim Paschke, the Bucks television voice on Fox Sports Wisconsin. He is here joining us. Jim, how you doing?
Great, Bill. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, my friend. How do you describe game one? I mean, the game one, the intensity, the tenacity, it almost like they looked at the Toronto Raptors and some of the games that happened on Saturday and said, okay, that's not going to happen to us, and they came out with an energy that was simply unmatched.
Well, that's exactly right. I think they probably did realize that three road teams won in the first set of games on Saturday, and you know, it was a good reminder that things can happen. And we saw that last night with the Clippers and Golden State. If you let down, it could be a big problem. Last night, Golden State led by 31 and lost the game. So, you know, the unpredictability of the playoffs has been interesting to me so far, as long as it stays away from Milwaukee.
I wanted to ask you specifically about, I mean, because we were sitting here talking last night about the depth of knowledge, and I'm talking Pau Gasol and George Hill and a couple of the guys on these teams, on this team. It seems like when they brought them in, whether it was John Horst or Budenholzer, very much out of the Popovich book of, we're going to bring in veterans that know how to talk to young guys. They don't necessarily have to come in and be coaches, but these are guys that we hope the young guys will look up to and say, and be inquisitive and say, what do I need to do in this situation? What am I looking for? What should I expect? And it seems like the blend they put together has been fantastic.
Well, and even more than that, I think Pau Gasol particularly would be proactive. I think he won't wait for players to ask him. I think he, I referred to him as the playoff whisperer, and I think it's a great thing to have on a team, particularly one that hasn't gone deep in the playoffs. These are young players, and I think it'll be a big factor when this is all said and done, Bill.
The shooting was lights out the other night. Defense has been very, very good. What do you expect in game two? We'll start with the Pistons first. How do you defend what the Bucks came out with?
Well, it's very difficult when Blake Griffin is not available, and we're hearing that he won't play in the series. So that puts Detroit at a great deficit. You know, Milwaukee just has to do what they do, Bill. If they come out and, you know, show the kind of resolve we saw in game one and play defense that we saw, I suspect that they will get through this first-round series with relative ease. I'm not predicting a sweep by any means. You never know about that based on what we were just talking about with the unpredictability. But I think if Milwaukee does what they've shown us they can do, and if they do that consistently, they'll be just fine.
What has it been with Coach Budenholzer that has been able to, I don't want to say flip the switch, it just seems like it's too easy, but he has been the master almost at motivation, manipulation, when to kind of, you know, kind of hit the horse, so to speak, and when not to, and to let guys just be guys, and to be able to take this group of, you know, you got a 38-year-old Pau Gasol, you got guys that are in their early 20s, and to be able to put it all together and say this whole thing is going to work. What has it been about him that he's been kind of that, and when you talk about being a playoff whisperer, the coach that's been able to do this?
Well, I can only think of two situations from the start of training camp until yesterday where I heard Coach Budenholzer be stern or raise his voice a little bit or call them to attention. I think there's been total buy-in. I think the coaching staff set up a system and they set up a program, and the players have, they bought into it right away, but they've enjoyed it because this staff keeps it light. They keep it fun. They keep it simple. And, you know, just the other day, they went out for practice and there was wiffle ball set up on the court and they played wiffle ball. And I had a chance to witness that and kept everybody loose. So it's been a real unique program in my years in the league, but it's been a really good program. And the players will tell you how much fun they're having. And I think that allows you to focus and bear down when you have to. And we've seen that all season.
Jim, I was, when we were talking with Powell last night, he said the one thing that has been so good has been consistency, and that Budenholzer's not afraid to get into anybody. That's including Giannis. Have you seen that as well, where that respect level is off the charts? Because one, Giannis is coachable. I mean, that's that. When you got a superstar that's very open and receiving to criticism, that means the world. So as much as we want to talk about Budenholzer and his lead, you have to. It starts with Giannis, and if he says would be aloof or on a pedestal or something, that it may not work the same. But because he's been so receptive, everybody in that locker room has been receptive.
This has been equal opportunity in every case, on every level, in every way, all season long, in my view. Everyone has had their moment where they had to be straightened up, if you will, where they had to be talked to a little bit. And you're right. He doesn't play favorites in any way. He's smart enough to understand that you can't let Giannis or a superstar get away with something and then hold someone else accountable. It's been very even-handed. It's been applied beautifully, and I think that the players appreciate that very much. They're all the same. They're all in this together, and when you have that message, you have to treat it that way, and Coach Budenholzer has done that.
So you had mentioned that we believe that we are not going to be seeing Blake Griffin anytime soon. Drummond obviously getting tossed out of the last ball game. So no Blake Griffin, so now what? Because you're going to see a lot of Thon Maker. You're going to see some guys rotate through there. But I got to be honest, Jim, they don't have the talent that can simply go toe-to-toe with what the Bucks offer unless the Bucks just have an epically bad game. Do you see it the same way?
Well, they have players who can get hot from three, but I don't think without Blake Griffin they can sustain that. They might be able to win a quarter or two. I don't see them being able to sustain that against the Bucks defense long enough to perhaps win a game. But the thing that might concern me a little bit, and we saw this on Sunday night, if the Bucks are so dominant that there are big gaps in score and they lead by 40, then the frustration sets in for Detroit, and then strange things can happen, as we saw with the push by Drummond against Giannis. That concerns me a little bit because I don't like that to happen. Injuries happen in those cases. That worries me a little bit. So we'll have to see how it plays out. And, of course, the officials have to control all of that, and they'll be aware of that type of thing. But when you have big leads, frustration sets in, and then it gets a little ragged. That concerns me on some level.
With the defense that this team played, now Drummond missed some shots early on in that ballgame and some bunnies. I mean, he just was a little bit disrupted, and they had hands flying everywhere. I think at one time Pat Connaughton even swiped one away when he went up from behind. So, but I believe Reggie Jackson can get hot. I know Brown can get hot. But, you know, other than a couple of the guys that have had hot hands in the past, again, you know, the defense of the Bucks has been so good. I mean, Jim, we talked about this last year, going back to the beginning of the season with Jason Kidd, who wanted to play this style of defense. What has made the difference this year defensively versus what they wanted to do last year defensively? Is it just that it's become simpler? It's kind of back to defense 101?
Well, yeah, it's very simple, and everybody has a job to do, and I think Eric Bledsoe's point of attack defense has been spectacular this year for the most part. He's been outstanding. And in this series, you know, he tends to play pretty well against Reggie Jackson. Ish Smith has the capability of getting into a defense and finding shooters. You know, if they would get hot or get on a run, it might come with Ish Smith at point guard and Luke Kennard and some of the other guys getting hot from three. But again, I don't know if they can sustain that against this defense long enough in a game to prevail. And certainly, you know, if they did it once, I don't know if they could do it twice. But, you know, that's just my take on it. You never know. You have to be careful with that type of statement. But that's how I view it, Bill.
I firmly believe that they're going to win at home. Then to win that first one on the road, we know past success. I don't think that they even look at this as, I mean, Jim, do you get any sense at all that this team has trepidation about getting out of the first round? I think their sights are clearly set on getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, winning it, and getting into a championship contest.
Well, I believe that to be the case also. I think that's been the goal all year. You know, they also have been wisely attentive to the fact that this franchise hasn't won a first-round series since 2001. I don't think they fear that. I think they believe they can get through the first round, but they at least have that in the back of their mind as motivation. So I think it's all set up pretty well. I think the players understand where they are, and now we'll have to see how far they can go before and if they have to learn a playoff lesson. You know, historically, teams have to learn playoff lessons before they can prevail and get all the way to the throne room. But we'll see. This team is pretty good, Bill, and I think their heads are on straight, and I think their focus has been outstanding this season.
Biggest acquisition in the entire NBA this season, would you agree, would be Brook Lopez?
Well, certainly the biggest and most cost-effective. He's been phenomenal. I'm so happy for him. It's incredible what he has brought to this team. I just saw, you know, whatever the numbers are, the Bucks signed all the players last summer for X amount of money, and it was like one-tenth what Charlotte had to pay for their group of people. So just outstanding work on bringing in the right pieces at the right cost. And all of that is important because the Bucks can try to keep this group together if they choose and if they're able to do that moving forward. So I think those things are very important. And Brook Lopez has been phenomenal. Just a great guy to have around and phenomenal in his production for this team. It's been
Jim,
spectacular.
Looking forward to tomorrow night. It's going to be exciting. Finally, it looks like the weather's going to break at least a little bit. I remember those pep rallies we had years ago down in the square down there, and I can imagine it's only going to get bigger with much more anticipation for actually heading to a championship. Good stuff. Good luck as always, and we'll talk soon, my friend, okay?
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it, and I hope everybody enjoys this run. It should be a good one. It should be a long one,
I hope. Certainly should. Cross your fingers. Jim Paschke, ladies and gentlemen, the Bucks television voice for Fox Sports Wisconsin, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. It has been, as Pau Gasol said, and we're going to hear from Pau Gasol some of the comments from last night, but it has been, like he said last night, the depth of this team in the NBA overall, top to bottom, as a whole, second to none. And it has been somebody on a night-in and night-out basis that has contributed, whether it's Tony Snell or Mirotić or Ilyasova. You've seen DJ Wilson, Pau Gasol, Sterling Brown, Pat Connaughton, I mean, George Hill. You know, everybody has come up big at some point or another throughout this entire season. And that's why you can look at Giannis and you can look at Bledsoe, you can look at Middleton, you know, even when Malcolm Brogdon comes back, you can look at him. But every night it's been somebody different in some big play, whether it's Brooke Lopez in a block or a big board or DiVincenzo at the time hitting a three or Pat Connaughton coming down with a big dunk or a defensive play. Even Giannis with a big defensive play. I'm not necessarily in the offensive end, but a defensive end. It's just been really, really fun to watch. 855-830-8648. When we come back, we'll get back into the Brewers stuff. Also, Adam McAlvey coming up from Brewers.com and MLB.com just after the top of the hour. But we're going to go inside the Brewers clubhouse coming out of last night's ballgame. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yelich will drive. Left center field. It is gone! 3-1 shot for Yelich. Fly ball back in a deep right field. And it is gone! Second of the night. He has driven in six.
Two home runs, a terrific play in right field, taking away a hit from Colton Wong. And he's giving away a puppy. What more can you do?
A fly ball in left center field. That's what you can do. It's gone! Oh, my goodness!
Welcome back! Bill Michaels Show on the air. Man, what a night. Fox Sports Wisconsin, that is Matt LePay and the Christian Yelich bombs that went out of the ballpark last evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. You want to follow us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. We will get back into the discussion coming up here in a little bit about are you nervous a little bit about that pitching rotation that the Bucks or that the Brewers have right now. We'll also talk with Adam McAlvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com coming up after the top of the hour. Christian Yelich, he wasn't going for home runs. He just took that early batting practice, and he was trying to get some swings at good pitches.
Got to keep grinding, keep competing in your at-bats, and it wasn't even about hitting homers, just about trying to swing at good pitches and hit the ball hard. And really thought I got away from that over the last week or so. It was kind of expanding and just pressing a little bit.
You start to press when things don't necessarily materialize as far as hits go for a couple of games, but that's the kind of guy he is. You don't get a couple of hits in a couple of games, and suddenly you start to kind of reevaluate yourself and make yourself better. He was out for pregame trying to get his swing down, and it paid off.
I mean, we were out there for a while. Like I've said before, I'm all about feel. I'm just searching for feels, trying different things. And honestly, when we left, we didn't really think we had it down, and we swung for a long time too. So, you know, baseball's a weird game, like I said, and you never know what's going to happen every night.
Yeah, I was at the ballpark yesterday, Bill, and I saw him working with Andy Haynes there. They were working on his stride a little bit. I guess he spent like an hour or two with Haynes trying to get things right, and I don't know how much credit do you give Andy Haynes for figuring that out, or was that all Christian Yelich because he's the MVP?
I think you give him a lot. You know, I mean, you say whatever little hitch in the giddy up that you saw, you figured it out. So, you know, I mean, it's kudos to him, big time. Yelich, by the way, doing rare, incredible things in front of the Miller Park crowd.
It's so rare when you watch things like that, that it doesn't get boring. I mean, he's doing incredible things. And, you know, the second home run, the pitch he hit, you know, it just, you know, how do you hit that pitch out? I think that's what everybody's saying. So it's special to see it.
That's Craig Counsell. And he even talks about prior to the game about Christian Yelich putting in that work and it paying off.
Put in some work today and probably hit longer than he was anticipating, but it paid huge dividends. So, you know, you give a guy credit, man. He went and tried to fix himself, and, you know, the great ones get answers quicker than everybody else, and he had a lot of answers tonight.
He is also becoming fast one of the great ones. Now, going back to Freddy Peralta, he just, again, never got into a rhythm early.
Fastball just didn't feel as crisp tonight for some reason. You know, he battled through it, and then the command kind of just wavered as he was going. So just never, you know, I don't think there was, you know, a hitter here and a hitter there where it felt like he had it, but he didn't put together like a string of hitters where you really feel like he got it going.
Never got it going last night. So unfortunately, not a great outing, and we'll get back into the discussion with Adam McAlvey coming up after the top of the hour about when do you begin to become concerned about this pitching rotation. At what point, you know, a couple more weeks, you know, do you get 25, 35 games in like I'm suggesting, or do you go further than that? So we'll wait and see. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He'll be first out of the shoe. We'll talk a little Tiger Woods, Aaron Rodgers, all that kind of stuff. So hang in there. A lot more of the Bill Michael Show coming up right after this.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.